Hello, everyone. Thank you for watching another episode of The Naturalist Capitalist. I am late, but I was having problems. There's a guy who drove out from Florida and he broke down in Cheyenne, Wyoming with this crazy load, and I had to come get his trailer. It didn't have the same size hoses and fittings. It was a mess, but I'm here with Quincy. How you doing, Quincy?
What's going on, brother? How you doing? What you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, last time you were on, you said, thank you, Reed, for having me on for the first and last time because you thought you scared me, but it's all good.
Man, I was a little bit worried, man. I was just like, maybe I went a little bit too dark in that episode, but all right.
Now, we got you back here. We're going to have a great episode here. So I wanted to ask you about your upbringing and then, you know, your earlier life before you got into trucking. Where were you born? What was your upbringing like? What's your backstory?
All right. I am born and raised in the D. For those that don't know, that is Detroit. Not Dallas, not Des Moines, not Dubuque, not Davenport. The almighty Detroit, Michigan. Shout out West Side, Puritan and Greenfield. All my boys up there on the Dexter Ave and Finkel getting it in. That's where I'm from. Growing up, let's just say things happened. Okay. Adasongo, Mama tried. That was pretty much me growing up. Mama tried, Papa tried, but yeah, things happened. You know what I mean? Once I got of age to work, I'm not gonna lie, I did put away some of the foolishness and, you know, worked my ass off, but didn't do anything past that. You know what I mean? Like, I never had a plan for 5 years down the road, even 5 days down the road. It was just, you know, great today, tomorrow, whatever happens, happens. Now my dumb ass sitting at 45, like, you idiot, you should have planned for it.
Yeah, so. How old were you when you got into trucking? How long have you been doing that?
I had six years in March. And let me tell you something, brother. I love this career. I finally have a career, not just a job, a career. It saved my life, man. Really, really it did. Like, when this trucking thing fell into my lap, I was in a bad spot, man. Living in somebody's spare room in just outside of Austin, Texas, and not knowing what the hell I got this opportunity fell into it. It's like you just can't have that. You have to go full throttle, and that's what I've been doing. I'm at right now.
Yeah. So, what do you like about truck driving? What was the reason you went for it?
The freedom and the money. The freedom, yeah. And the money, first and foremost. Like, I wish I could remember the name of this special. I don't know. It may have been PBS. It could have been another channel, but it was around 2000, and it was a documentary about truck drivers. And it's still just etched into my memory, man. They had hopped on the truck with this Russian dude, and he was just like, look out my window, this is freedom. I mean, just screaming, this is freedom. He's like, look, I grew up, you know, on like four potatoes a week, you know what I'm saying? No TV, barely had indoor plumbing. Now I'm over here in America, you know, just living the American dream. Like, I hope I can be that fucking happy one day. God damn it, I am.
Yeah, it seems to be a constant theme for the most part that truck drivers didn't have a lot when they were kids or when they were growing up. And, you know, they didn't have a lot of entertainment. They kind of had to do it for themselves. I had Tommy Salmons on a few weeks ago. He was very similar situation. You know, I wasn't as poor as him when I grew up, but we were not very well off. We were living paycheck to paycheck, and we didn't grow up with lots of TV or video games or anything like that. So it's a job where you can't get bored really easily. You got to kind of be able to entertain yourself with your own thoughts. Is that the Does your upbringing kind of help you with that because you didn't have a lot? Has that made it easier to be a truck driver, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard of a rich person becoming a truck driver. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't never heard somebody who was already making 200 grand a year. You know what? Fuck this corporate life. I'm going to drive a truck. Yeah, I've yet to come across that. It's pretty much the dudes who got it out the mud, you know what I'm saying, that are just like, all right, if I can handle this, I can handle this. You know what I'm saying? Like, all three of us grew up with, like, no money. I remember one particular incident, literally having to ask a homeless dude for his spare change, which is not a good time in my life. Boy, let me tell you something. That was a rough day. Yeah, a rough month even. Who am I kidding? But yeah, I mean, it does take a certain mindset because you are going to be alone for a lot of the time. But see, I like that. You know what I'm saying? I like the fact that I don't have a boss all on my shoulder, micromanaging me and everything. I like the fact that I'm alone to my own vices. I can drive how I want, within reason, obviously. I can play my music as loud as I want, drink what I want, fart when I want, whatever. I'm A-okay with it.
Yeah. So what do you haul anyway? What do you move? Just freight or flatbed or what do you do?
I've done a little bit of everything. Like, the only thing I haven't done yet is car hauling and reefer and hauling, like, you know, pigs and cows. But did drive in. That's where most of my bread and butter is at, drive in. Did some flatbed. I did some tanker up there in Wyoming. And that was a whole nother story. But, yeah, I did it.
Yeah, so are you an owner-operator, company driver? What's your deal?
I am officially an independent contractor as of last week, my brother. No more company. See, continual improvement up in this bad boy. How that boy Drake say, we started from the bottom and now we here, and next year we going to be up here? Yes, sir.
So is it worth the hassle to be independent? Is it worth all the paperwork and responsibility?
Yes! Dear God, man. This is the closest that I'm going to get to being a cowboy without being a real cowboy. Dead ass on that. Like, love it. Love the freedom that I can, for once, I can pick and choose where I'm going and everything like that, which is phenomenal. Because when I was a company driver, didn't really have all that flexibility. It was more like, yeah, you will go into New Hampshire with the 18 inches of snow and you'll deal with a smile on your face. I ain't gotta worry about the shit no more, man. And that's pretty daggone good.
Yeah. So, how did you start out? What, like, you were just a company driver going out like 8 weeks at a time, no choice, or what was the progression like to get to where you are now?
The progression was, I started at Western Express, which, go figure. The only reason I took them, they were the first people to call back. That's the only reason I was. I was so naive and wet behind the ears and whatnot. Believe it or not, they fired my ass. You believe that shit? Yeah. But, you know, I was there like maybe 4 weeks or something. Then went regional with the company in Denver. It was a Southwest regional, pretty much from Denver to California and back. Occasionally Arizona, New Mexico, and Kansas, but mostly Denver to California back. I was there for 2 years, went to Atlanta, and did some local rail yard work, which, listen, shout out to them boys doing containers, man, because depending on what rail yard you get, it's going to determine how much money you get. I was in Atlanta, and their rail yard sucks ass, and not in a good way either. It was just horrible, horrible. So left there, went over to a LTO company in Minnesota. That was actually pretty good, you know, offloading cabinets and everything. You got quite the workout doing that, quite the workout. Left there, went to the company that I was just with for 2 years, and they were OTR, so I hit up every state. in the continental U.S. And now I'm here. I should be on a roll, but we had an issue with the fuel injector. And apparently, I don't know if you noticed or not, there's a parts shortage. Man, we had to get ours. Yeah, it's a 2016 Volvo fuel injector. We had to get ours from a Mack dealership in, like, Springfield, Massachusetts. That should be here tomorrow, hopefully. Like, it's crazy. I got a guy right now in Tucson. He's been sitting for, like, 3 weeks damn near waiting on parts. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know whenever we got to get a truck worked on, the biggest question is when are the parts going to show up? A guy that we know blew an engine, and it was going to be months and months.
Really? How much did you get paid for it? Put on thumbs.
But aside from part shortages, have you run into any issues with COVID over the last year and a half, or you've been running straight through all the time?
I haven't experienced any issues with COVID. I know that's a highly contested issue, and let me just go ahead and piss some people off now. While I am not in favor of mandates at all, either vaccine or a mask mandate. For one, I ain't never getting that vaccine. Yeah, man, let me just state that right now. Never, never, never. I will get a freaking fake card, and don't think that they ain't out there. Don't think that I don't know the plug for them. I ain't finna say who, but I'm cool on that. I'm not taking it. Simply for this reason here. My body, my choice, and I will refuse to explain myself past that. I don't owe y'all an explanation. My body, my choice. I don't want this in my body. I'm not putting it in my body. All right? There it is. As far as the mask thing, again, I don't get it. At the same time, I'm a go-getter. I'm going to do what I got to do to get the job done. And if that means wearing some bullshit, you know, mask, which I've never washed and has been stepped on a couple times. You know what? So be it. I ain't gonna like it. I just gotta do it. I'm here for the money. Okay. I'm not here to, you know, freaking make a stand. Motherfucker, pay me. I'm a capitalist, a greedy capitalist at that.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, being a truck driver, the COVID stuff really hasn't bothered me much because the only time I ever have to wear a mask is if I'm going into the truck stop. Sometimes, depending on what state you're in. So
right. Certain states don't care.
Right. What's the worst state as far as COVID goes? Out west here, it's probably, believe it or not, Nevada. They're terrible. Like, they're worse than California. Yeah, I'd go to California. The Indian reservations in New Mexico and Arizona are really bad. But then the worst, like, overall state that I've seen is Nevada. Like, if you try to go anywhere without a mask in a big city in Nevada, you're done. Like, they're going to stop you right away. But what about you?
You know what? I mean, I'm kind of shocked at Nevada because I was literally just there like 2 weeks ago. Now, mind you, I was just in truck stops and warehouses. Ain't nobody give a damn about no damn mask at all. Same goes for AZ as well. In California, honestly, at least where I went to, they didn't really give a damn, man. Like, Jersey can suck it. Sorry for anybody listening from Jersey, but yeah, y'all went a little too overboard with that, man. Like, come on with that. I mean, honestly, overall, nobody's really enforcing it. I've even been in spots where there'd be a sign on the front door, mask required. Oh, I didn't see that shit. And then go in, nobody checked me, nothing like that. And you know, and if I do get checked, okay, I'll either leave or put the damn thing on, go get my coffee and bounce. I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna trip out over something that's gonna be over me for like maybe a minute or something. Now, for the people that gotta wear it all day, okay, cool. You've got a bigger dog in the fight than me. I get it. You're mad, you're upset. Do your thing. This is my thing, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I've never really cared about the mask thing, but it's selfish because, like you, it's just a few minutes at a time in a truck stop. It's not sitting in an office all day or standing at a desk all day, so I can understand why they'd be pissed off about it. But I've noticed in every state, no matter which one it is, if you're in a more rural area, nobody gives a fuck. Like, it's only when you're in the cities that people care about anything. you go out in the middle of nowhere, and it's like 2019 all over again.
Shout out to Small Town America. I love all of y'all, man. I swear to God I do. Shout out to all the towns that are under 100,000 in population. Woo! You're the bee's knees, man. He said, they really ain't giving a damn. They just out there living their life. Everything is everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think that is? Like, why? I mean, it seems like my opinion.
You know why? People think they can run their lives better than the government. That's really what it boils down to. Like, who are you to tell me that you know me better than me? I mean, can y'all just stop and think about that for a second? Yeesh. Sorry, some running back got the shit knocked out of him in the football game. But just think about how insulting that is for some Joe Schmo to run up on you and with no hint of sarcasm or jokiness, look you dead in the eye and say that they know you better than you and they know what's best for you better than you. Bitch, please. No. I know what's best for my body. I'm not saying I'm doing your housing or a house or something like that, but I know how to take care of myself. Believe it or not, I may be a fat slob, and I'm working on that. I rarely get sick. We're talking maybe once every 18 months at best, and I just got sick 2 weeks ago, so I'm good for another, 16, 17 months or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the reason that is because everyone in the small towns, they plow their own driveways. They have to, go to this grocery store themselves. They got to do everything for their own home. Where if you're in a city, sometimes you're in a high rise where you order everything and it shows up at your doorstep. You work in some administrative office where you're just telling people how to do stuff. In the cities, there are a lot more people who don't actually put their feet on the ground and do the work. So the effect is that they think they know how everything works and they ought to tell you what to do.
Hey man, if we're gonna be honest with ourselves, and this is just me, talking because I can do that and I ain't sober. To a lot of people, COVID is what they wanted 9/11 to be in terms of eradicating our freedom and whatnot and making us quote unquote bend the knee. I refuse. I just flat out effing refuse, man. I mean, honestly, I know this phrase gets used a lot and everything like that, but it still rings true. I just want to be left alone, bro. I'm not bothering nobody. I just want to be left alone, put in an honest day's work, an honest day's pay, end of the day, have a little something to sip on and everything, and just chill. Damn. Is that really too much to ask for? Apparently it is. What the hell?
Yeah, apparently it is. So what are your thoughts now that we got rid of Trump and so we got rid of fascism and we have nothing to worry about now? Is that how you feel? Or
oh, Lordy, Lordy, we got rid of the great shaky Trump. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, I was worried that Trump was going to deport me back to Africa. Man, All right, yeah, okay, cool. Trump's out, Biden's in. Yay. First of all, fuck Joe Biden, all right, for real. And I mean that with every inch of my massive diaphragm. I will never forget that asshole for getting on motherfucking platform, a black majority on platform at that. Not the nerd to get on there and say, if I don't vote for him, I'm not black. Bitch, you got me fucked up, homeboy. What type of shit is that? I mean, and to this day, people are defending that bullshit. Come on, bro. Come on, man. I'm telling you right now, don't try that in real life with people, man. People get out the fuck out, like, seriously. Like, that's like one of my big things, man. People talk to, my black friends, I'm not here for it, bro. I'm not here for it. First of all, what the fuck has he done so far? Okay, since he's been in office, I can't name a single damn thing. Just like Trump. And honestly, I mean, Trump was in. I'm glad he got in because, he was the first president in the private sector to be elected to the White House. So just on that alone, I think he was also
And now it's back to being people's status quo. Nobody. You're supposed to be happy and stuff like that. Nah, I got I mean, the gamble is going to win. I'm going to try to over pop. I'm going to hit my numbers regardless.
Yeah, I mean, it always kind of pisses me off when people care so much about who is in the White House instead of trying to better themselves. Like, you have made your own life better over the last 6 years. I have too. You know, I've worked a lot and I lost you there. There you are.
There you are. All right.
It's all good. Tilt you up a little bit.
Yeah, sorry about that, brother.
That's what the show's all about, technical difficulties. But, you know, like, everyone's always complaining about the system. And don't get me wrong, the system sucks and it's not incentivized to, I mean, it doesn't incentivize you to do the right thing. It punishes you if you try to save and you try to invest at this point. But at the same time, like, you can't wait around for the government to fix itself because it's not going to. You got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and hit the road and, you know, make things happen.
Lord have mercy. See, when we say stuff like that, or at least when I say stuff like that, I get called everything but a freaking child of God. Like, oh, you're nothing but a black conservative. Are you coon? Are you selling? Just like, really? It's a sellout to want to have personal responsibility? Alrighty then. You say so. I don't get it.
So they're saying you're selling out your heritage if you want to be independent? That doesn't sound very, that sounds kind of racist if you ask me, but.
Man, there are so many hours I could spend just on that topic alone. Let's just say, and I'm, you know, whatever, I'm gonna catch up with this, blah blah blah. There are some people who truly think that if you are black, your whole life is supposed to be a struggle. Now, I get it. Frederick Douglass said, without struggle there's no progress. I get all that. Pretty sure the mandate means struggle 24/7. Come on. Pretty sure the mandate means 24/7. Yes, I have been through a lot of struggle and adversity. Still got through it though. You know what I mean? So it's just like I don't get. Yeah, actually I do get it. It's bullshit excuses. It's bullshit excuses, man. And that I will say that has been one positive side for COVID, at least for me. People are getting exposed up to right now. And I've been talking about this on other podcasts and whatnot. There are people who just get exposed for the bitches that they are. I'm sorry. You sitting up here with your 2.5 kids and your wife and your husband and your boat and your car and everything like that, relying on everybody else to take care of your family but you. You were relying on the school, the church, the daycare, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the whatever Scouts. You know what I'm saying? And now some of the punk ass people come around and you're sitting around 24/7 with these kids and you panicking, Tom, or you don't know what to do. Yeah, get out of here. No. Like, seriously, I didn't see some wild TikToks. Parents just sitting there pulling water like, I just don't know what to do with these kids all damn day, man. What if you was running around and stuff like, well, why the hell did you have them? What the hell, B? Come on, man. Like, first of all, as soon as that first case hit America, why were you not preparing then? Why were you not making steps then to make sure that if shit get bad, you are protected? Okay? It's just like, I really want to pick them up, but they asked me not to. But I know plenty of people who were struggling before the COVID, and now they're taking it after the COVID because they prepared for it. And you know what I'm saying? And they reinvented themselves either by starting a new career, or working from home, or having a side hustle, whatever you call it. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, if these guys can do it, ain't damn one of them got a fucking degree at all. I can attest to that. What's your excuse? You're supposed to be the smart ones. You went to college. You graduated. You got a degree. You took down on folks of me and my ilk. Now who's laughing?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, bro. I just can't give out no sympathy, no fake love, bro. Because before this shit started, a lot of these cats were looking down on the working class, bro. They were looking on their nose at us, laughing at us. And now, choosing the other foot and somebody shows some love. Nah, I'm not doing it, bro. Get right, get left. That's pretty much where we're at right now. At least in America. Get right or get left, homeboy. Because ain't nobody coming to save you. You may think the government's going to save you, but they just want you in the grass. You know what I'm saying? So that, you know, they got you. You just can't do it. You just fuck. Not going to be me. Not going to be me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's it seems like no one is pushing anybody in the right direction. Like, they want everyone to fail. They want everyone to be dependent. They want everyone to be subservient. There's very few people who seem to be directing the next generation, or even like people who are in their 30s, into the right field, you know, where you can be successful. It's all go to school, get in debt, get college loans, and then get a useless degree, and then work bagging groceries for 10 years to try to pay it off. That's where everyone ends up, you know. And it's people seem to be catching on that the way to be successful is not what the establishment or what your teacher or what the news has been telling you for years. It's through a lot of blue collar work now, like truck driving, plumbing, electrician, any of those.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think, do you think that's just intentional to get people dependent on the system so they can control them?
Yes. Yes. It's really that simple. Yes. To the peoples. Hey, whoever put in the fire, appreciate you, that player.
You seem pretty funny, he says, she says, so.
Oh, she, huh? Oh,
yeah.
I'm like, Let me chill, man. Listen, I be telling anybody I know, man. Look, bro, if you don't know what to do with your life, hop your ass in the truck, bro. Hop your ass in a truck. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least give it like 6 months or a year. You ain't gonna see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? I guarantee you, one, you're gonna make some money. Two, you're gonna see some cool shit. And three, you're gonna make some money. You know what I'm saying? And if trucking ain't your thing, okay, do something else that requires, you know, getting dirt under your nails. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, plumber, electrician, highway dude, road construction, backhoe operator, something or something. Because for all this talk about AI and blockchains and computer technology, the shit break down, somebody got to fix that shit. That's where we come in at. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, the more society seems to be falling apart, the more and more useless all the degrees that they've taught you to get seem to be. Like, nowadays, knowing how to do your own shit, change your oil, you know, work on your own heating, work on your plumbing, work on your car, like, those types of things are becoming more and more important every day.
Bruh, how many of those memes or pictures did you see where somebody's holding up a picture like it's a fucking mugshot? Hi, my name is Brandon. I spent $34,000 in student loans to be a animal puppet major. I cannot find a job. I am the 99%. First of all, bitch, your fucking major is puppetry. That was the first mistake, though. Okay, you don't need no 4 years to, you know, stick your hand in some glove and talk with it like that. That's the first off, man. Listen, I have a very controversial take, but okay, bring it, whatever. You shouldn't acquire crippling debt to acquire a major that is not supported by the market. It's like if you go to school for 4 years for puppetry or basket weaving, and now you got $50,000 in debt, don't get mad at me if your punk ass can't find a job. That's on you, Kimbo. Like, if you're going to go, at least go for something that's going to support you, you know, forestry, land management, dentistry, something. But not, you know, some BS that, you know, you're just doing it to look cute and pick up chicks in each village. Like, come on, man. No. Don't do that.
Yeah. So what do you see as the biggest divide in this country today? Like me, you go to different states all the time. And, you know, what I always like about traveling is, even though we're all little bit different. We're all a lot the same too. Like farmer in Idaho could be the same as some, you know, apple picker in California. They're going to think a lot the same way. Like we tend to think, you know, every state is just full of different people that think differently. But when you go to certain towns, everybody, you know, you meet a guy who you're like, yeah, this could be a guy from my town. But what do you see as the biggest divider in class or race or gender, whatever? I know the ones, it seems like they're trying to divide us by gender and race, but it seems to be more of a classist difference if you actually talk to people on the ground. What do you think? What do you see the biggest divide?
I see politics as the biggest divider, bro, because I have broke bread and shook hands with people in red states, blue states, purple states, man. And it's just all politics, man. Like, once you get to the freaking root level and talk to somebody, man to man, woman to woman, we really ain't all that different. I mean, we really ain't, man. But it's politics and the media trying to push this narrative like, hey, should I do it over there? Should I do it over there? Motherfucker don't like you, dog. He wants to hurt you and your kids. When that not necessarily is the case, man. It's ridiculous, bro.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I mean, when I said class, I think it's an extremity, like the donor class, the political class against the common people. But you're right. They've used vaccination or who you voted for or whatever to try to divide us and get us to hate each other. And if you know, you could talk to someone who you don't know their politics and you can think, oh, that's the greatest guy in the world. If you only meet him on Twitter and hear about what they think about politics, you think they're a schmuck. But, you know, it's that disconnect. You know, it's learning to move beyond like what someone's been fed on MSNBC and try to actually see who the real person is, talk to them face to face.
Yes. I believe the phrase is go outside and touch some grass. Like a lot of people get caught up on the social media stuff and thinking social media is something that it ain't. Like, listen, there is a literal whole world outside of social media, okay? You know it, like I know it, because we literally see it every damn day. You know what I mean? Like, social media is not a good representation for humanity, like, at all. Like, for me, I'm not gonna lie, for me, yet, it is just Twitter. I like it. You know what I'm saying? If I get suspended again, I'm probably going to make another account. But again, it's just Twitter. Like, if Twitter was to shut down for everybody tomorrow, all right, life goes on, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I got most of y'all phone numbers. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's just, you know, people put too much faith in stock in it. That goes double for all y'all internet tough guys that be talking all reckless on social media, knowing damn well you ain't doing that shit in real life. You know it, and I know it, and your mama know it. Get out of here.
So when did you start getting political? When did you start doing videos with people, getting involved with the first guy you met, or Tommy, or how'd that all come together?
I'm trying to think, who was my first damn podcast, man? You know what? It was a gentleman who's not even on Twitter anymore. It was a school teacher in Mount Vernon, New York. He was the first podcast. And honestly, like, as far as my whole podcast journey, it's been, I say, like, the past, what, year and a half, maybe 2 years. As far as politics, I gotta admit, man, if it weren't for Alex Jones, I wouldn't give a fuck about politics, bro. Real talk. I've been following that man ever since he was doing public access in Austin, Texas, back in 2001. It's literally him with a chair and a folding table and a bunch of documents. And I woke up one Sunday afternoon because I had spent the night before listening to the channel with music. Apparently on Sunday afternoons they play Alex Jones. So I wake up hungover to some dude screaming about the towers and whatnot. Like, what the fuck? I started listening, and yeah, man, he started my path to where I am now.
Yeah. So, what was your politics before that? Did you just not pay attention at all, or?
I'm black. It was Democrat. Come on now, you need to ask that question. Come on, Come on, man. Let's be honest. It was dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. Couldn't tell you why, but my mama voted Democrat, my daddy voted Democrat, so I guess I'm a Democrat. That's pretty much the mindset, you know what I'm saying? And listening to Alex Jones and Daniel switched over to some other people. I'm trying to think of the damn names. I'm having a brain paralysis. I'm not sober right now. But listening to, like, the left, the right, the libertarian side, I'm just like, huh, okay? So it ain't everything like I've been told to in the news and my paper and whatnot. I noticed that there were different thoughts of thought process out here. And I can dig it, you know?
Yeah, there's something weird with your mic. I don't know if you touched your phone. It just sounded weird for a second. But
mic check, 1-2-1-2.
Up, talk again.
Mic check, 1-2-1-2.
There we go. That's better. Okay. So, what do you think is, what do you think the future holds for this country? Do you think we need to break up, or do you think we're not going to break up, or we're going to end up fighting at the kitchen table and it's going to get ugly, or what do you see happening?
I honestly see business as usual. I mean, Joe Biden fucked up the money so good. I can damn near guarantee a Democrat will not be elected next term. You know what I mean? It's I'm just looking back. I just see the cycle. This literally happens every 4 to 8 years, man. One side thinks it's the best time in the world. Other side thinks the worst time in the world. It's just back to business as usual. I will say this about both parties, Democrat and Republican. Your leadership is getting old, okay? They're going to be gone soon, about 20 to 30 years. If you motherfuckers are smart, you better be prepping the generation behind you who are in their 30s and the 40s and whatnot, because, again, you niggas ain't gonna be around the most longer. And if you don't have a plan in place for the next generation, well, congratulations, you just handed the other side their victory. Now, as far as America breaking up, I don't think that's ever gonna happen, bro. I've talked about that before. And for no other reason than, dude, think of the logistical nightmare it would be as truck drivers to get shit from Omaha, Nebraska to Portland, Oregon. Think about that, bro. You had to go through this zone, make sure your paperwork's in check, and hey, your permit's good here, but it ain't good here, and you've got to sign this here, so now you're gonna go back to your original destination. Nah, I really don't see America breaking up. First of all, succession requires approval from Congress. Congress is never going to vote money to go away from them. Let's be honest about that. For all this talk about Texas, you know, about Texas leaving and seceding, you're never going to get approval from Kansas because Texas makes Congress too much goddamn money in federal taxes. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to happen.
Well, you're describing with driving from state to state. With my job, that's what it's already like. We got a different permit in every state because I'm oversized, overweight, over length. So,
hey, and those fines are a motherfucker. I learned that the hard way. Whew.
What's your scariest trucking story you got? I've seen a picture of what I think it is.
Oh, man, I got two of them. The first one was up in Missoula, Montana, up near your neck of the woods almost. Just let me go. I remember I was in Seattle, picked up 45,000 pounds of steel beams, right? And I was supposed to go to Minot, North Dakota, all right? Went over Shinokami Pass, I had to put the chains on and everything, no big deal. Get to Idaho, and I'm coming up over the mountain, and I jackknife, right? And I went full on, like, L shape, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, oh, but I was able to get up underneath it, and everything was straightened out. I'm just like, thank God I'm driving at 2 o'clock in the morning with no traffic, because had there been cars around, it would have been way bad, you know what I'm saying? So I get to the TA in Missoula, park there, get back on the road the next day, 1:30 afternoon. Sun's out, guns out, and roads are dry. I'm going eastbound on 90. I see this pickup truck going westbound. They get in the median and make a U-turn. I ain't think nothing of it. But in the time it took me to realize they're going too fast to make a U-turn, boom, we hit. It was suicide by track. He hit me on purpose to take his own life. You know what I'm saying? And it was bad. The driver didn't make it. Believe it or not, he had a passenger in the truck with him. He made it, but he's wheelchair bound. So that was pretty daggone scary on that one. Second one was just year before last, actually, when that winter storm Gale hit in the Northeast. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I'm living there.
Okay. I had where was I? I was in Vermont delivering to New Hampshire. And I parked that Wednesday afternoon, and you know, it was cloudy, but you know, it was still okay. I wake up Thursday, 2 a.m, boom, there's 18 inches of snow. I'm just like, get the fuck out of here, man. And the roads have not been plowed yet because it's 2:30 in Vermont. So I'm just like, all right, man, it's 10 miles, man. Suck it up, dude. How bad could it be? It was fucking bad, homeboy. It was fucking bad. I'm not even gonna lie, man. I started involuntarily crying because I was that damn nervous. I'm sitting here just white knuckling the steering wheel. I got the windows down, listening for anything. It's just eerily quiet. There's no freaking street lights and everything. And I remember made it by the grace of God, Jesus. Got there, checked in. I remember I backed into a dock, and I'm thinking everything cool, right? Because I'm like, okay, I've been there before. I know these dudes take about 4 hours. By that time, the sun will be up, the roads will be plowed. I'd have made it. I remember I sat there, filled out some paperwork, and like I remember sitting on the bed like, 5 seconds there. Doom, 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 doom. Hey, man, you're empty. Here's your paperwork. Get out. Motherfucker, what? I got to go back out there? Like, seriously? He's like, yep, you got to go. I'm like, dude. There's over 2 feet of snow outside, man. Here's $50. Can I bury myself in your yard? Like, nah, you got to go. So I got to go back out there. But I'm just like, this is some bullshit. Just mad, bro. Ugh.
Hold up, where we going? Didn't you blow a steer tire going down Donner's Pass?
Yes, I did. And I'll admit, I will take that over those two situations any day of the week. And that's saying something, because that Donner Pass one was pretty daggone scary. That was my fifth time trying to come over Donner Pass, because California doesn't know their ass from a hole in the ground when it comes to chain laws. They had the chain laws up, and it wasn't even an inch of snow on the ground. It was slush. I'm just like, I've traveled over worse situations going over the Rockies with no chains on. It's ridiculous. So anyway, four times to come over. The fifth time and everything, I put my chains on. I wait 3 hours to go 15 miles, right? And by the time I get to that chain checkpoint, chains laws left. I'm like, motherfucker, all right. So I took my chains off and I'm driving down, calling the homie, like, yo, man, I'm about to leave Nevada, man. I mean, I'm about to leave Cali, get in Nevada, man. I can't wait to get this bullshit state, man. Go get me a taco sudden. Oh, fuck. I lost my fucking steer tire, man. Fuck, hey, man, I throw you back, click. Like, I saw the tire blow by my passenger window, and my steering wheel just violently shook to the right side because that's the tire that popped off. Couldn't even stop, bro. I had to drive another 2 miles because there was no shoulder. You know what I'm saying? I'm just sparking and bumping. I'm just like, ain't this about a fuck you, California? Just cussing out of heaven. and finally stop and unclench the seat from my ass, you know. And the freaking shop guy came through. He was like, "How the fuck are you alive?" I'm like, "I don't know, dude. The rim. I don't know if you saw the picture of the rim.
Yeah.
That rim was toast, bro. Was toast, man. That was in damn tense. Which, if y'all are watching this, be a car or a truck, slow your ass down on Donner Pass. Seriously, slow your ass the hell down. I'm tired of seeing trucks and cars off in the ditch. Relax.
Yeah. Yeah, I have still not blown a steer tire yet. I've blown plenty of other tires, but not looking forward to that day, especially with what I haul. That could be
I would rather blow like 6 drive tires than 1 steer. Seriously, I would.
Yeah. Oh. So what's what message have you got for us to close out? What do you want to tell everyone out there? What are they going to do differently?
My message, as usual, it is never too late to unfuck yourself, people. And I am living proof of that statement. I am 45 years old. I'm a convicted felon, and I didn't get my act right until 6 years ago. Okay. I went from homeless to comfortable inside of 6 years, okay? 7 years ago, I made 12 grand a year. I'm going to make 100 grand next year after taxes. It can be done. I don't want to hear the excuses because they're just that, excuses. Just don't want to hear it, okay? Unless you got no hands and no feet, and even then, I can probably find a job for you. I don't want to hear it, man. Get up and do something because it's obvious. No one is coming to save you. Only person gonna save you is you. Where my hand at? There it is. That's the only way we can save you is you. Okay. If you got friends and family, love your friends and family. Take care of your health, your wealth, your mindset, all that. Drink some water, read some books, and mind your own damn business. Okay. Please and thank you.
All that and white women must be stopped.
There, man, listen, shout out to the homeboy toplobster.com. That's top lobster. God darn it, I got too animated. That is toplobster.com for the official white woman must be stopped t-shirt, available in all sizes, men's and women's.
Well, thanks for coming on, Quincy. I've got your Twitter profile linked in the description. Everyone go follow him. He's hilarious. You'll love seeing him on there. And we'll get you back on the show sometime. Maybe we'll do another trucker episode and see how off the rails we can get again.
Hey, man, listen, before you cut me off, man, I want to say again how proud I am of you, man. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I feel a little overwhelmed because you've had some damn good heavy hitters on your show. Here come my little raggedy ass, man. Like, I feel honored, bro. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, this show, you know, I want to have the experts on, but the real experts are the guys who do it every day, you know, who don't just talk about it. They actually know what's going on because they see it. So, no problem, man. Thanks for coming on.
I'm not wearing pants. Ba, 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 ba.